This Jew
Neusen.
Delighted to be able to come and to speak here for a few moments.
Good, thank you very much.
I was deliberating as to what possibly from your point of view would be most interesting and most useful and helpful to others. And I thought this morning it might be interesting to discuss communication from the point of view of so many in your world who have some knowledge of this subject, particularly those who are on the threshold and are puzzled by certain things which happen and things often which perhaps do not happen, things which they themselves take often for granted and yet sometimes are disturbing because of the what must appear inconsistencies. There are so many complexities about communication which I think would be interesting to discuss, because you must have many questions thrust at you which at times even yourselves find difficulty in answering. One of the most common, I think, problems which arise with people who are inquiring and who are investigating this subject is the method of communication and as to why it is quite often very difficult to obtain satisfactory, that is from the point of some individuals, evidence to substantiate the claims that are made by spiritualists. You know, there are people who, quite sincere themselves, who attend seances and sometimes over a long period receive very little information and indeed very little evidence, and they are disheartened and discouraged and in some instances of course give up research and form possibly a wrong conclusion. I think it's very important that we should try to explain to these people the reasons.
If you would talk on that.
I think the obvious answer to certain aspects of this problem is the fact that we on this side who come regularly to communicate and act often in the instance of assisting the medium and the communicators that may come through, that it is not possible, as some people imagine, for us to necessarily find a particular person to bring through that the recipient of the messages desires. People often say to us, "Oh, can you find so-and-so and bring so-and-so through to speak to me?" Just as if it were the most simple thing to make contact with that particular person in the realm of spirit and bring them through to speak. We often wish it were as easy as that, but of course it isn't. And there's no one on this side, as far as I can tell, and I've had a good deal of experience in this net, that can at will fetch a person through. It may well be that the person most desired from the point of view of the sitter very seldom, if ever, turns up the stairs. Often other people come that they're not interested in, people perhaps whom they have no connection with at all, and they're rather puzzled as to why the individuals concerned should put in an appearance at the stairs. But in regard to getting in touch, only the people who happen to be present on the occasion of the sitter's interview Obviously the people who can make the communication, or at least make the attempt at the communication. The sound depends a great deal, of course, on the atmosphere conditions that are brought to bear by the medium and by the sitter, and of course to some extent obviously by the communicators. In other words, this must be a fusion of individual minds, cooperative effort, sincerity of purpose on both sides, and a genuine sincere desire for spiritual experience. Now, as you well know, the vast number of sitters, the vast number of people who make communication, are very seldom, very rarely interested in spiritual achievement, spiritual attainment. The vast majority are concerned with self, with the personal element, the personal I. They are concerned quite often that a certain individual known and dear to them should communicate and speak to them on matters quite often mundane and material, which I admit quite often are necessary from the point of view of evidence. But even those who are successful at communication from both sides, the recipient and the communicator, quite often are quite content to talk on the level of material themes, which in the beginning is understandable, but after a time becomes pointless, rather stupid, and certainly doesn't help in the spiritual sense. And after all, if we are to think of this subject as it should be thought of, in a spiritual way, and what can be achieved spiritually through it and by it, then there must come a time, if this is going to serve any real purpose, when communication should be on that level, where intelligent beings may come through and speak on intelligent matters that will be for the benefit of all concerned. The average spiritualist, I regret to say, is not concerned with spiritual things. More likely than not, they are concerned with messages of a mundane nature, communicating with a certain one person known to them. And this, of course, goes on and on and on. And then again, from the beginner's point of view, they look upon it quite often as a form of fortune-telling, something which will bolster them up, give them some hope for the future in a material sense. And as you well know, quite often, their interest is centered around one or two people, and as you know, this isn't always possible for the person's most desired to communicate. People seem to think that once they make an appointment with a medium, that the rest will be easier, that they should be able to receive exactly what they desire. And that should the communicator come, that they're most anxious to speak with, that that person should be able to answer all their questions and go into detail, if necessary, on all various points, often concerning material affairs and things which, frankly, the average spirit, if they have any intelligence at all and any desire for spiritual growth, would have released themselves mentally a great deal anyway from these material things and problems which often so beset the sitter that it becomes their main objective in having an appointment or a seance at all. One regrets that one has to go into this sort of detail, but it is increasingly obvious to those of us who act in the capacity of advisors, spiritual advisors, to a medium, when we see the efforts that are made, oftentimes wasted, oftentimes the opportunities that are presented for communication are oftentimes used in such a way that it might have been in some instances better if the sitter had not even bothered in the first place. This mistaken idea that I mentioned of being able to run around the spirit world and finding a certain Mr. Thomas Edward Brown who lived at such and such an address while on earth is curious and futile, and yet so many people seem to think that as soon as they sit to the medium that their particular person they most need or want will be present, if, of course, their particular person that is wanted is in constant communication from the point of view, I don't mean psychic or spiritual communication with mediums, but if their personality, that person, is in the habit of visiting the bitter and their own home, taking an interest in them, and endeavoring to assist them in any way they can, mentally and spiritually. In other words, if they are in touch and are poor with the individual concerned, when that person presents himself or herself at a seance, that spirit will automatically be present, knowing what the interview is to be held, and will then, of course, be in a position at least to make the attempt at communication. But this mistaken idea that so many people have, that automatically if they sit that Mr. Tom Bryan would immediately put in an appearance and hold communication, is quite stupid. I think people should realize that a great deal depends on themselves as to what conditions they provide and what results they will get. And it doesn't necessarily follow that even then that they will have a successful session with the medium. Mediums themselves, of course, sometimes unconsciously build up barriers and make difficulties. And there again we have problems for the mediums. We try to organize things as best we can, although it's very difficult even to do that successfully. Mediumship is a fascinating, complicated thing in itself. It is very seldom ever stable, and very few people realize this. Of course, most mediums like to think that their mediumship is very stable, very reliable. Most sitters who know a medium well like to think the same thing, and of course the majority of spiritualists claim that a good medium is always good, is always reliable, which is, of course, another futile, stupid statement. Because you can have a good mediumship one day, and with the same medium, you can have a very bad mediumship. The only thing that can be said here that bravely is that mediumship, when it is properly understood and properly controlled, can be more reliable, can be more, shall we say, satisfactory. And, of course, there's no reason why it shouldn't always be completely naturally honest. But at the same time, we do know, and it's true well through experience, that honest mediums and honest mediumship can sometimes, by the very nature of its sensitivity, be so affected by thoughts. And thoughts are very, very pregnant, very, very strong, very powerful. They can affect the mediumship. And indeed, sometimes the sitter, in ignorance perhaps, and sometimes, of course, by design, can create an atmosphere and a condition that you can have not only unsatisfactory communication, but very unreliable communication. And you can, of course, also have what is termed impersonation. Some of these people who attend services, by the very nature of their attitude of mind, bring about a strange vibratory condition by which entities who are near the earth and are earthbound and not particularly advanced in any way will take advantage of an opportunity to deceive. Now, whether it's a medium whose guides are reliable and honest, they will either come to a tibial, which is why they close down the station, or they will tell you of the difficulties and the dangers and advise you to be careful and not necessarily to accept everything as gospel that may come through, but to analyze it. Indeed, we always tend to analyze and to criticize if necessary. especially after sounds, not doing it, because if you do that during a session, that can be also very detrimental and create unhappy conditions. But the point is this, that all mediumship, every sitting, every session, is an experiment. And there are many complications, many differences that have to be contended with. Not only do we have our own conditions to contend with, the difficulty of lowering our vibration, entering into the thought forces of your world, entering into the consciousness of the sitter, endeavoring to bring forth from that condition that has been brought into being something that is satisfactory to all concerned. But we've also got to help people who are in themselves often inexperienced as communicators. Sometimes they make such a hash of it. Sometimes the extraordinary thing is that in their concentrating of being able to speak at all, make themselves understood, it's as if they themselves, in doing that, cannot think clearly about things which the sitter thinks they should know automatically. Indeed, one of the big puzzling features to many people is the fact that often the communicator will say things or discuss things which they are least expecting or not even interested in or don't even know about, rather than the obvious, rather than the things which they automatically think they could never forget. People do not seem to realize that being over here and making a contact with Earth isn't it still a complicating thing in such a way that it is as if we are having to do three things all at the same time, often things which in themselves are opposites one to the other. Knowing one's vibration from what is normal to us to yours in itself is a very difficult thing. Concentrating at the same time on certain facts which will be acceptable as evidence, bringing them through, transmitting them so that they are heard, so that they are understood and accepted. All this, apart from the other conflicting vibrations and conditions that may be apparent on certain occasions, the miracle, of course, is that we have the success, the number of successes that we do. But the most difficult thing to contend with, of course, is the sitter, who has made up his or her mind previously as to what they should receive as evidence, namely what they would accept as evidence. How often evidence of a kind has come through which has been so striking, so remarkable in its context and its message, and yet the sitter has not been able to accept it. But if one has said something which has been so obvious and so ordinary, that was already in the mind of the recipient of the message, it would have been accepted as wonderful, wonderful proof, wonderful evidence of survival. And yet, to any really intelligent person who really seeks to analyze this, it would have been far from evidential, far from convincing, because something that is already firmly fixed and planted in the mind of the sitter, after all said and done, is reachable. We can, to some extent, if we wanted to, tap that source. And people do not seem to realize that telepathy can and does often play a part. I'm not saying it's a common thing, but it does happen. That is why spirits on this side who wish to make communication with a relation or a friend are advised to avoid the obvious. Quite apart from the fact that they may not be able to get over what is obvious sometimes, they're often warned and advised not to discuss the obvious, the things that are already firmly implanted in the mind of the sitter, because it would not be acceptable to some, and certainly would not, from our point of view, be satisfactory as evidence. In other words, the unexpected business. If a stance is held and a communicator comes through and is accepted, is recognized as the individual best most wanted, and comes out in the conversation with certain facts which are not known to the recipient of the message, and that person afterwards makes every effort to check, find out that it is certain, and it does prove to be correct. Because it was not in the mind for the recipient of the message, it is much more evidential. people have such peculiar ideas of bank communication to start off with, even well advanced spiritualists and long-standing, still are in some senses very ignorant in regard to what is a real value. Of course, once the evidential stage has been reached and passed, or should have been passed, it is a time for people to open their minds and their hearts to things which are of real value. And this is, of course, unfortunately, seldom happens. We hope, of course, that it may be that more like you will come along and will be anxious for experience and knowledge, spiritual knowledge. And yet it's an extraordinary thing. Whenever we go to societies and churches, temples, wherever they are, where spiritualism is proclaimed, we see quite often the same routine taking place. We see the same type of mediumship, which we do not decline, you know, it's place and it's failure, but nevertheless, we see very much the same pattern. And then the heavy experience of all this is that very seldom do societies and churches and individuals who make up the societies and churches aspire very high. They're often quite content to have the usual communication, which is often through, well, we have to face the fact of a media of the kind. It fills the church, I suppose. It's something that people cannot get elsewhere. And they come for the message. And they're not concerned particularly with the other aspect, which is the dominant part, or should be the dominant part, that is the spiritual. People don't want to be told very much about a spiritual life. They're quite content, even if they're spiritualists, to wait until they get their sort of attitude. Oh well, as long as we get a message from Fred or Frank, and we're told or advised what we should do in regard to this or that problem, and oh, they're quite happy to pull along slowly but gradually towards the inevitable. And then when that happens, of course, that's a different matter. They're ready to face up to spiritual things when they get there. That's not the motive or the point of communication. Motive and the point of communication, apart, of course, from comforting those who mourn, is that we should infiltrate spiritual thoughts and ideas and ideals, that individuals in consequence shall be so charged with this new vitality and power of life, spiritual, that they will want to put it into practice while yet on earth, and that they will want to accomplish some spiritual things while yet in the material world. In other words, to help to bring changes that would be beneficial to the human race, to break down the barriers that are built up through ignorance and foolishness between peoples and nations, to bring a greater realization of the oneness of humanity, the realization of true brotherhood, how it can be brought into being, and to work and to strive for this, but not to think of the individual self. The unsatisfactory part about so much of communication is this selfishness, this I must receive this. I have paid a fee. I have gone a long distance to have a communication, and I expect this. And why do not I get what I desire? After all, I'm a spiritualist, attitude. You see, the people, so many of them, have the wrong aspect. They are concerned, unfortunately, with the mundane and the material. And in consequence, it would be no surprise if the vast majority of the communications that they did have were of a low order, and that they attracted to themselves instead of souls of a higher nature, and a greater philosophy, and a greater realization of truth, instead of attracting them, they attracted earthbound, mischievous souls. I do not want to be depressing, but I can assure you there are quite a number of so-called mediums, well-intentioned, no doubt, in their own fashion, but who receive what they think are communications, from stone of a high order. Indeed, you will find that often those who claim to be of a high order are not what they seem. It's unfortunate, but it's true, that many a person has been misled because in their foolishness they have allowed their ego to so enter into the communication that they have distorted and they have created indeed something which in essence and in reality is not there. The tragedy of spiritualism and of mediumship often is that the individual, they must only have guides, and they must only have people from this side of life who are either very well known in some shape or form or wherever on earth, or that they themselves are so far advanced that their particular guide or their particular messenger bearer is a lot more, shall we say, highly advanced and of a greater status than Mrs. Brown, who is also a medium. There is this dreadful sort of mental and stupid competition that goes on, even between mediums. I have regret that one has to sometimes come down to realities of this truth, this subject. If we are to find truth, if we are to do the work of the Spirit, if we are to really achieve something in spiritualism, we've got to get rid of all the stupidity that is so often apparent among people who call themselves spiritualists, and also often among those who call themselves mediums. I know there are many sincere people, but there are also many who are so mediocre in their mediumship that they do so much harm that they frighten off the intelligent person who may be seeking and striving for truth, and they listen to a lot of this rubbish that is the purported of descent through truth from this side, which of course is so obvious to anyone of any reason and intelligence couldn't possibly be. There are so many facets to this whole subject, but I would say this, that if a sincere is very genuinely sincere and enters into communication under sincere conditions, realizing the complexities of communication, keeping an open heart and an open mind ready to receive, and at the same time being kindly and analytical and critical if necessary, but accepting where necessary or where it is possible to accept with reason and intelligence, and they pursue this subject on those lines, they will receive not only all the evidence that they need of communication and survival, but they will receive guidance and help from those who appreciate their attitude of mind and their motives, and they will be helped, and they will genuinely contact souls of a high order who will see in them the opportunity to really serve. But we've been so disheartened ourselves and so distressed. We have striven time after time with various individuals, instruments, who've shown promise. But often the instruments who've shown promise has often unfortunately allowed themselves, through their ambition, through their desire sometimes to reach what they may feel to be the top in mediumship, they've allowed themselves to become, in consequence, often mediocre, rather than being patient and persevering about it and sitting month in and month out, year in and year out, and only being content with that which is of a real value. They've been quite happy to be able to give the usual sort of message, which brings them some popularity and, of course, often some sort of an income. Unfortunately, so much good mediumship has been sidetracked onto a certain level which has become accepted and acceptable to spiritualists and spiritualism generally. Vast numbers of mediums that could have been of a high caliber and order, who could have done great work, really sincere work of a spiritual nature, have been sidetracked into this sort of lower vibration of mediumship. which, although admittedly it has its purpose to the things it does, but is unfortunate. We see it everywhere. There we go, we see this, what is of a lower rate, lower condition of mediumship, which need not and should not be. And it is, in my opinion, why Spiritualism has not made the spiritual progress that it should have done. When one considers how much has been done in the past, and how much could have been done, and how much could indeed be done by some of these instruments now that are still being used, who are quite happy in their present situation, whereas they know full well in themselves that they should be doing a greater work in a greater sense, a higher sense, that they should be serving in a way in which the majority of peoples would have a firm conviction, not only of survival, but a firm conviction of the true meaning of spiritual wisdom and knowledge and experience and brotherhood amongst men. The tragedy seems to me that the vast majority of so-called spiritualists are quite content and quite happy to accept mediumship on a low level, which should not be. And I think that although the mediums to some extent must be to blame, quite in the blames fall on the organizers of societies and churches who are content with this sort of mediumship because it fills their church, and because that is what they feel the public wants. And of course, in the same, the public are satisfied. But we're not concerned with that kind of satisfaction. We are, those of us who are genuinely sincere and concerned with spiritual truth and achievement, we are not necessarily going to acquiesce all along the line. We're not necessarily always going to stand as we have stood in the background. We try sometimes, of course, to, and we succeed, of course, at times in getting through and making contact and communication. But it seems to me that until there is this change in the attitude and the atmosphere among spiritualists generally and among the churches and societies, then we cannot hope for the progress that we so long and so desire. And of course another drawback, and a very big one too, is this clinging to the outworn mold of religion, the outworn creed and the dogma. I know that a lot of the churches and societies and the spiritualists have thrown out a lot of the dogma. But it doesn't always affect that there is still this sort of bastard, inferior Christian atmosphere, which is neither good or bad. To me it seems as stupid. It's a pale imitation of the church. Aping the church in itself is, I think, quite stupid. But the average person who is attracted to spiritualism has obviously, in many instances, got tired of the church, has found that the church has not offered what they had hoped, what they had been searching for. In their hour of need, the church has failed them. So they search among the spiritualists to see if they have the wisdom and the truth that they so long and so desire. And what do they find? They find a very pale imitation of the local church. Not so well run, not so well organized, hasn't got the same atmosphere. In other words, it seems to me that they would have been better off often to stay in their church. You see, the whole thing is that we are striving to bring a universal realization of the power of the Almighty Spirit to man, and this can only be done when we shake from ourselves all the old ideas and outworn creeds and dogmas that have held us down for centuries. Man must be brave enough to face reality and truth, and not to sort of have to tie himself to all these things which he thinks gives him form respectability to very much. So spiritualism will never be respectable in that sense. Spiritualism has always had to fight, always had to do everything it could against great odds. But the truth is out, has come out in the end. But if we're to hold on to this, we must not be afraid. The very spiritual sort of afraid.
Thank you very much for that wonderful book.
May I ask you a question?
Yes, what is it?
Well, I'm now referring to mental issues, here going. I've always thought that these mediums, say you have about 10 bookings spaces in a row, and they can't get on the vibration of all those signals, can they? Is the psychic world to be against them?
Of course, this is the sort of sausage machine mediumship of which I speak.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And it seems to me that all the skins of the sausages are filled with the same material.
Yeah.
And although here and there they might be fortunate to strike some real meat and give some good things, it does alter the fact that the majority of it, like most sausages, are indigestible. And I think that they put off a lot of people. You see there again, and I think there's too much pandering to people. I know, there's no doubt about it, that so many mediums feel that the vast majority of the people that come to you are not more concerned with material things, material advice. They would have done better to have gone to Madame Blanche at the end of the pier.
Mm.
You see, that is the tragedy of spiritualism as I see it today.
Mm.
It is not being used and demonstrated in the way in which it should be. There's too much pandering to the minds of the individuals who are concerned with receiving messages that will solve their material problems. But why should we be expected to come back and to solve the material problems of people in your world, who are placed in your world, to gain knowledge and experience, which can only be done and gained, of course, through battling with life, and sometimes even failing. Often we learn more through our failures. Of course, there are times when we do advise, and we are only too happy to advise, and do what we can to assist. Of course we come back to heal mentally, physically, and in every sense. But the point is that so many people who rely upon messages of a low order, indeed it becomes to them kind of narcotic. It seems to me that in some instances it's the same old routine, especially among many of the regular attenders of churches and societies, to go every Sunday or every Wednesday afternoon in the hope that they will get a message. And if they don't get a message, perhaps after 6 or 7 Sundays, they either stop going or they seek a private appointment. And that gives them some satisfaction for a time. Spiritualism was never intended to be as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
Here and there, there are genuine, sincere people doing a great work. But unfortunately, the vast majority are just content to go along as they are, and as they have indeed been going for some considerable time, many of them, many of the societies and churches, just pandering to the mundane and the ordinary, instead of striking out in the way in which the Spirit intended, carrying a torch of illumination of mind and of spirit, bringing cohesion and understanding and knowledge and truth to humanity. We have a great task, a great work to fulfill, but we should never do it while we are kept down or held back by the small-mindedness of the average spiritualist. It is a critical thought, it's a terrible thing, but it's true. By all means, evidence of survival, that's essential and necessary in the first instance for every human being who seeks truth. Once they have it, then of course there should be difference, but it is not. The average person sinks back into the old ways, and often is quite content to have the usual message, even though they know in their hearts it probably isn't true in the first place, and secondly, if it is, it doesn't really matter. And many people are so concerned with the mundane and the material, even the so-called spiritualists. In other words, what we want is more spirituality among the spiritualists, and this sensation bundling and seeking, and less message hunting, and much more doing rather than getting, putting something into it and still taking something out of it all the time. It's a very great distressing thought to us. But we continue, we do our utmost, we do our best. But people should learn more about mediumship, what it can do, what it can achieve. And they themselves should realize that within themselves is the power to develop their own spiritual faculties, that they might truly be of service and of use themselves, not rely too much on others, not to rely too much on the messages that they must have or feel they must have. We know only too well that if we are to progress, and if we are to bring into your world a greater knowledge and a greater happiness and a realization of truth, you've got to break down one of the barriers that the spirits themselves have created in their foolishness and their ignorance. There's so much that we would like to see changed, but it will no doubt take a long time. But we continue, we endeavor, we do our best. And if only we had more people like yourselves who were really genuinely working and striving for spiritual achievement and attainment and knowledge and experience and spread it as you are trying to spread it, then we could go ahead. But I'm afraid you are, as you well know, only too well, often because of your attitude of mind, because of your spiritual desire to uplift and enlighten, coming up against all sorts of problems yourself, and pettiness and jealousies, and all sorts of other things that are rife, even among those who profess to know and understand. But I think one of our biggest drawbacks is the fact that there are so many who have great gifts who prostitute them, who use them on a low level, instead of using them as they should use them, on the highest possible spiritual level that they can achieve and attain by their own effort. We can't do it. We can only come and help you. And we can't make anyone do anything they don't want to do. If a medium wants to work on a low level, then of course they will continue to work on that level. And people will be guided, unfortunately, by these low-level mentalities, and in consequence, spiritualism will stand on that level to which, unfortunately, it has become accustomed and is accepted. No wonder that spiritualism doesn't make the progress it should do. It's because of the spiritualists. It is a tragic thing. It's true the spiritualists do not like to hear this, but it's true they must either do something about it very soon. Otherwise, it seems to me that we shall be pushed back to such an extent that only those of the lower strata of spiritual level, in other words, those on the earthbound plains and around the earth vicinity, will be able to make a contact. And only here and there, dotted here and there, very few, will there be real mediumship of the level which we are striving so hard to bring into being. It's a great, great problem that faces spiritualism today. And until the spiritualists themselves make the effort, we can do very little. Anyway, I'm afraid I stuck a very pessimistic note that I really can't be helped. The truth is never perishable, is it?
Speaking of that, Doctor,
call me Scott.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Mickey, very much indeed. For that wonderful talk, too.